Let's remain standing, turn to the scripture reading upon which our sermon is based, from Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. As we continue in our study in Colossians, today our focus will be on verse 3. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now I say this, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. And thus far ends the reading of God's word. Please now be seated. Last week in our study of the book of Galatians, we saw that the Apostle Paul revealed that his pastor's heart for the people at Colossae, saying that he had a great conflict for them. And as we looked further in our discussion, we saw that part of that conflict involved the fact that he had a great concern for their spiritual progress, as he understood that they would always be subject to the attacks of the evil one, that Satan would fiercely oppose them and their faithfulness to God. We well know that the evil one, our adversary, will resort to any and every tactic in his arsenal to try to keep people enslaved to him and to prevent them from being free in Jesus. Paul shared with us and shared with his listeners how they could blunt the evil one's attacks. And this was important because you remember Paul couldn't be with them, and he had never had actually seen these people, but he gave them some very practical suggestions. In verse 2, he says, that your hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. In other words, that they might be encouraged by the Holy Spirit, that they might be comforted and exhorted by Him, and that they might not neglect the fellowship of the saints, being knitted together with other faithful believers, and that lastly, that they might remain steadfastly committed to Christ and to His gospel. If they were ever going to survive the evil one's attacks, it would be through those vehicles, through the Spirit's work, the fellowship of believers in Christ, and the Word of God as it's been revealed in the Holy Scriptures. Today our verses direct us again to the believer's help that exists for us in the Father and in the Son. As this text in verse 3 declares to us that in Christ and in the Father are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Christ and in the Father are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That verse needs to be especially appreciated on the backdrop of what's been going on in the Colossian church. Many false teachers and many false prophets have been claiming to have all wisdom and knowledge and seeking to seduce the people away from the church and unto the following of their particular brand of wickedness. Apostle Paul says in verse 4 that part of the reason he's making this statement is that he's concerned lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. So you see, the danger is real. The attempts on the spiritual welfare on the parts of God's people are always going to be there. Paul recognizes that, and he is seeking to give us help in combating the evil one's attacks. Verse 3 is one of those verses that if we really took it to heart, it would go a long way to blunting the efforts of all false teachers. Paul says in our verse, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. There's something odd, though, about that statement. I don't see, after that statement, a comprehensive list or matters of examples that would demonstrate to us the Father's wisdom and knowledge, or Christ's wisdom and knowledge. Surely, we might expect that Paul would overwhelm us with such details that prove that would go to prove God's infinite wisdom and knowledge. Surely, there would be evidence about God and Christ that would demand a verdict of faith if it were just presented. A faith that would have us acknowledge that God is true and wise, and without Him there is no hope. Surely that is forthcoming. But really, the contrary is true. I'm not saying that there isn't detailed evidence that exists in Scriptures that God has all wisdom and knowledge, but it's just not right here. What you have right here is a naked assertion of that fact. What you have right here is simply a statement that Paul believes is true and that every Christian he believes will also acknowledge as true. That in Christ and God are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Let's look at this a little bit more and try to appreciate this statement and try to understand what role this statement might play in our own spiritual lives, as from time to time we are victims or could fall victim to the same kind of enticement from the world's wisdom and the world's knowledge. As I look at this verse, there's a number of things that come out that are rather interesting. There's the statement that in God there is treasures of wisdom and knowledge, and at the same time, it says they're hidden. They're hidden in God. Now, some of that holds true. Don't you hide what you think is valuable? Treasures are hidden for the most part because they're deemed to be valuable. Isn't that right? You hide something that is valuable because you don't want everybody to find it. And that kind of doesn't quite ring right here. But then you have to remember, the point that we so importantly understand as Reformed people, that God is sovereign and God does what He wills. And that though the treasures are hidden, God does reveal those treasures to whomever He wills. To find a treasure, you have to be given a map. Or you have to be given access or a key to unlock the treasures. In the Christian perspective, that map or that roadmap or that key is found only in God and in Christ. Only through them can we have access hidden treasures of knowledge and wisdom. And brothers and sisters in Christ, I want to confirm to you and affirm to you and proclaim to you that in Christ we do have that access. Amen. We are invited to come boldly into the presence of God through the blood of Jesus. That is not something we should ever take lightly. For it is something that many people are seeking to find, treasures of knowledge and wisdom that will open the keys to life, but they won't find it. And luck will not help them to find it. And searching will not help them to find it. If they have some sort of gizmo, like, you know, they have those metal detectors that you can run around with and try to find treasure on the beach. You know, find some lady's engagement ring or something. You know, if they have those kinds of things, there is some kind of spiritual metal detector or treasure detector, they still wouldn't find it because it's hidden. It's in the providence of God's safekeeping, this knowledge, these treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Only those God calls to receive it can embrace and understand these treasures. Only God brings through to faith in Christ can they know the treasure of wisdom and knowledge that even surpasses all human understanding. See, the unbelieving man without faith will never come to Christ because of his sin. He will never treasure the wisdom of Christ like you and I do. He will never treasure the knowledge of God like you and I do. The unbeliever in sin believes that there are many ways to discovering the treasures hidden in the Divine One. They believe there are many ways to know truth and wisdom, but every way they choose leads to destruction. Every other way leads to a God, but not the God. As the Scriptures remind us, there is only one way. Matthew 7, verse 13, "Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go therein." Not only are these treasures said to be hidden, but we do need to appreciate the fact that these treasures of wisdom and knowledge in Christ are indeed treasures. Are indeed treasures. They're not diamonds. Physical money. They're not the kind of treasures that men think for. They're not gold or oil. But you would think that a text like this that uses the word treasure would set off a mad treasure hunt on the part of people. But in reality, such words fall upon deaf ears on the part of the unbeliever. God's ways are not his ways. God's treasures are not his treasures. As Isaiah 55, verse 9 puts it, "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Yet, my friends, we are so arrogant, the unbeliever is arrogant enough in his sin to presume to judge God and to determine that his ways are foolishness. Even the ultimate way of God's treasure of wisdom and knowledge, which is Christ on the cross, and the preaching of Christ on the cross, the world deems foolishness. Right? By our sinful nature, God's wisdom and knowledge in Christ is alien to us. It is alien to us due to our sin. It will always be alien. It will always be radically different from God. exactly opposite to our human wisdom, the only way that can change is if we ourselves undergo a radical thought and heart and soul change. Only with radical change can a person have a new orientation unto God. And the Bible speaks of that radical change coming about through faith in Jesus Christ, the gift of God. It comes to us, that radical change comes to us through faith. It is the gift of God on whomever God wills it. No one outside of faith can ever or will ever think that God's wisdom and His knowledge, no one will ever think that wisdom and knowledge is a valuable treasure. They will never search for it. They will never want it. The heart matter. It's a heart matter, you see. A new heart is needed to appreciate what really is the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. True faith is needed, both of which God gives us in Christ. True faith is needed to treasure most the things of God's kingdom rather than the things of this world. That's the meaning, in my opinion, of the parable that Christ told in Matthew 13, among many, verse 44. He says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hid in the field, the which when a man hath found it, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he has, and buys the field." The kingdom of heaven is again like unto a merchant man selling goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in God and Christ. Notice it says all the treasures. Emphasis not on treasure now, but on all. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. There's no true wisdom, no true knowledge of that which is eternal and savingly important outside of God and outside of Christ. All that I know, all that I know that is valuable to me comes from God. I think in Him, and through Him the Holy Spirit leads me in accordance with God's Word. Finally, as we look at this passage, it talks about all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge being in God and in Christ. The treasure is in both. How can treasure be in two places or in two people? Only if both are the same and both are equal in substance, power, and in glory. God and Christ are the same, for Jesus is the Son of God, God in the flesh, the eternally existing Son. Both have all wisdom and knowledge. Both are equally God. As we hear these words, this has very important implications for you and me as believers, as I said from the beginning. We talked a lot about unbelievers, but this is stated as a fact to believers. It's stated as a naked truth. And What it does is, by stating it that way, it helps us remember that we must, in our own mind, destroy a cardinal tenet of unbelief. And that cardinal tenet is simply this, that man is not the end-all and the be-all of knowledge and of wisdom. Man is not the end-all and be-all of knowledge and wisdom. God is. When we start thinking in this perspective, that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ and in God, it sets straight in our mind the creator and creature distinction. knowledge, you see, and wisdom do not spring from us. It springs from the triune God. The fact that you and I know what is true is because that has been revealed to us. It is not something we thought of. It is not something in our wisdom we discerned. It is because God has given us ears to hear and eyes to see His Word and embrace it as true. We may know some things, but we will never know everything. And even what we know is colored by our sinful rebellion. That which we know true, we know truthfully because God has revealed it to us in His Word. This passage, as Paul gave it, was a call to the Colossian Christians and to Christians everywhere to affirm what is our greatest treasure in life. Where do we seek the source of knowledge and wisdom? It is a call for us to declare and to stand on the side of God and Christ and to say, in them is my knowledge and my wisdom. In them is my eternity. In them is my be all and all and all. There is no other treasure in my life of knowledge or wisdom or anything else which comes close, and I won't go that route. We embrace, by God's grace, the wisdom of God, not the wisdom of man. That means that the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is the place where our foolishness was conquered once and for all. Where your heart is where your treasure will be also. Seek only to know Jesus. Do not seek the contradictory wisdom of man. It's actually a misnomer to call it wisdom. It's foolishness. No matter how it comes packaged, it is foolishness. If you seek Christ and His wisdom and knowledge, then you will know the treasure of all wisdom and knowledge resides in Christ. As Mark chapter 8, verse 36 reminds us, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul?" Or said another way, how great a treasured wisdom from God it is to gain our own souls and Christ and lose the world. Amen.